The congressional hearings this week with former special counsel Robert Mueller got all the attention, but there were also hearings about a topic that is of great concern to a growing number of people in this country, and that would be vaping. The House Oversight Committee looked at the e-cigarette maker Juul's role in what the committee called the youth nicotine epidemic. Parents and teens testified about how vaping affected their lives, and the co-founder of Juul Labs, James Monsees, testified as well.
We never wanted any non-nicotine user, and certainly nobody underage, to ever use Juul products. Yet the data clearly shows a significant number of underage Americans are doing so. This is a serious problem. Our company has no higher priority than fighting it.
Well, joining us now are Meredith Berkman, co-founder of Parents Against Vaping E-Cigarettes. Meredith, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Matthew Myers is with us as well, president for the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. Welcome to you, Matthew.
Thank you very much for having me.
So let me just first ask, as you hear that tape, Meredith, from the co-founder of Juul Labs saying that they never wanted any non-nicotine user or anybody underage to use Juul products, what do you think?
I think that even if I wanted to believe, and I emphasize wanted to believe, that this were an unintended consequence, there is so much that they must do to end this epidemic. I don't agree with his statement. I just am extremely frustrated to hear it referred to as, quote, a serious problem in my mind and certainly in the minds of parents all over this country. 4 million kids using this product and some others, these flavored e-cigarettes, but primarily Juul, as the numbers show, is much more than a, quote, serious problem. Mm-hmm. It's an epidemic, and he knows it, and so do we.
So you were the first to testify on Wednesday. Your son testified as well. How did he get involved in vaping?
I think like the millions of kids doing this around the country, you know, it's sort of a teen cultural revolution that came out of nowhere. And that's because Juul, as we have heard over the last couple of days of testimony, there was a, you know, target of kids through social media, through the use of influencers. And so it's one of these sort of viral things where kids started using it. It's chic, it's cool, techno chic, it's stealth by design, and it spread like wildfire. And so my kid in my own home without my knowledge, because the product, again, it's stealth by design. So you can be vaping this Juul, hitting or ripping the Juul, as the kids say, 24/7 in schools, in classrooms, in your own home, in the Juul room, which, by the way, is the school bathroom is what they call it now. And my son started using it because his friends were.
Now, Matthew, as you testified this week before the committee, what did you want them to hear from your perspective?
I think it was very important for people not to take Juul at its word. Its behavior is totally inconsistent with what it was saying. In fact, its marketing directly targeted kids. They know, just like we know, that it's flavored products that appeal to kids, and they haven't taken off the market the flavors that are driving the epidemic.
Well, one of the things that came up in the hearing was that, in fact, Juul has been going into schools and telling kids the products were totally safe. They've even held summer camps. This is Ashley Gould, Juul's chief administrative officer, speaking with Representative Katie Hill.
It was a 5-week summer camp for 80 kids centering on, quote, healthy life adventures. Ms. Gould, this contract says that, quote, student participants will be recruited from grades 3 through 12. Did Juul honestly sponsor a summer camp for third graders?
I would have to check the contracts, but as I stated, whatever grants were made were focused on youth prevention efforts.
So she's saying that Juul was involved in youth prevention efforts, even though their product obviously is yeah, well, Meredith, take that up. What's your reaction?
Well, first of all, I thought that that Congresswoman Hill did a really great job in her questioning. I thought there were some, you know, I was tweeting during that whole exchange, and I actually tweeted out, Juul funded summer camp. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, the reason that we were there and the reason that we started our entire group, I mean, just a year ago, started by three moms originally, and now it's spreading across the country. We came into this because my son, who is now 17, came home from school 2 years ago and told me and his father that there had been an anti-Juul, anti-addiction talk at school, and he thought it sent a mixed message. And when we looked into it, we discovered that, in fact, a Juul representative, unknown to the school, began to tell the kids, we don't want you as customers, because he did identify himself as being from Juul. We don't want you as customers, but this product is totally safe, and it's going to be getting FDA approval any day. But we don't want kids, we want adults. And my son and a friend went up to him at the end because they thought it was odd and talked to him further. And again, we don't want kids, we want adults. But he took it out, he took it apart, showed them how it works, referred to it as the iPhone of vapes. So it's this pattern of deceptive behavior. This is a predator of children. It's despicable behavior that everyone can understand, that to prey on kids is immoral.
Well, Matt, you know, you're the president for the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, and we should note that there's no tobacco in Juul. It's about nicotine in this case. But were you and your organization, or were the anti-smoking forces in this country caught off guard by this phenomenon and not able to come in as quickly as obviously Juul did to try to counter the message?
Juul operated under the radar screen. Its marketing used social media that didn't get picked up quickly. Its school-based program didn't get picked up quickly. The second we saw Juul's school-based program, we recognized that it was modeled after exactly what the cigarette companies had done 30 years ago, and that their programs were designed to actually encourage kids, if anything else, to use the product. And anybody who believes that Juul didn't realize that they were modeling after what the tobacco companies were doing, it defies logic. This is a highly sophisticated company that had access to tobacco industry records, and their marketing, their school-based programs, their outreach to kids, and their claim to be doing youth prevention as a way to prevent meaningful regulation is exactly the playbook from the cigarette companies. Juul claims it doesn't want to be tobacco 2.0, but that's in fact what it is.
Do you think that Juul and other e-cigarettes should be regulated at this point like traditional cigarettes at the federal level?
Juul should be regulated. And the only reason that Juul hasn't been subjected to meaningful regulation so far is that Juul has spent millions of dollars on lawyers and lobbyists. But it's also important for the public to understand the Food and Drug Administration had the authority to stop the most egregious marketing and the most egregious outreach to kids, and they have been way too slow to exercise that authority.
Matt, please correct me if I'm wrong, because Matt, of course, is the expert. The FDA could take the flavored pods off the market this morning. They have the authority to do so. They have allowed Juul to pretend that they've, quote, taken the flavors off the market. You will find, and I would say one out of five or one out of four of these stores, you will find the mango pods. You will find the fruit pods. And Ashley Gold yesterday had the nerve to say that the only way those products are available in a retail shop is because, one, they're counterfeit, or two, because distributors still had stock. How is that possible with their sales since November? The real reason, and she knows it as well as we do, is because they're available online and retailers are buying them, having their friends buy them, and then selling them, and the kids can still get them. They are still available. And frankly, the fact that mint and menthol have been left on the market by Juul is also outrageous. And Juul knows mint is their most popular flavor. It's certainly what my son would call the, quote, iconic kid flavor. If they really wanted to make an impact, they would take mint and all of those flavors, mint and menthol, take them off online. But they're not going to do that because they want to keep making billions of dollars off our kids.
Well, and one of the things that is difficult about this situation is even as Juul's products have exploded on the market and have been so popular with teenagers, the research is very young at this point. We went into Louisville, Kentucky and visited one of the FDA-funded research labs on the issue of e-cigarettes. And the researcher told us that while these aren't going to cause lung cancer, they may well cause cardiovascular issues because of all the particles that are in them.
And our kids are guinea pigs. They should not be guinea pigs.
I mean, that's the important point to understand, is that Juul has figured out how to deliver higher levels of nicotine to our young people than anybody has in literally decades. And we shouldn't wait until we begin to see exactly the extent of the harm that's caused. This is an area where we should step in rapidly to prevent the marketing and sale of these products to young people. And as long as they make products with the flavors that young people want, young people will get them. Last November, FDA announced that it would institute a procedure to eliminate some of these flavors. Almost a year later, it still hasn't done it.
That is Matthew Myers, who's president for the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. We've also been joined by Meredith Berkman, co-founder of Parents Against Vaping E-Cigarettes. Both of them testified this week before a congressional committee looking into vaping and teens. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
And we reached out to Juul for an interview. We will bring that to you if and when they accept. Your thoughts welcome at hereandnow.org.